Clark Kent, Daily Planet.
Oh, my foundation has already issued a statement in support of books.
Sir.
Wow, pretty girl, bad habit. Don't quote me, all right?
What's your position on the Bat Vigilante in Gotham?
Daily Planet. Wait, do I own this one? Or is that the other guy?
Civil liberties are being trampled on in your city. Good people living in fear.
Don't believe everything you hear, son.
I've seen it, Mr. Wayne. He thinks he's above the law.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hey,
hello,
everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome.
Children of all ages.
Welcome.
Non-binary Welcome. Children.
To another episode of Tom and Jeff Watch Power. Oh, I'm your host, Tom and Jeff.
I am struggling through a head cold and a fever right now, so this will be great.
And that's the best way to describe this movie anyway.
It really is. So, Jeff, you put a poll on Twitter to see what people wanted us to do next.
I offered up about four options. I offered Batman the Animated Series. We're done. We wrapped the official Batman the Animated Series. Should we go to animated films? Should we go directly to the new Batman Adventures, which is sort of like the sequel to the animated series? It's in the same universe. And then I offered the Snyderverse. And by like 2% votes, the fucking Snyderverse won.
Yay!
We did it.
Which is fine. We had to get here eventually. Like, mm-hmm. This is, I think, the last big thing that we've had up until, you know, until we get like the next one coming out with the RPATs. Once he can put on a couple of pounds, a couple of LBs.
Hell yeah.
So this is like the last like mainstream thing that we're going to be doing, really. And I wanted to hold off on it, but the people have spoken.
They have.
Plus, it's the
cult of the Batman.
Plus, it's the holiday season. Why not
give
the people what they want, which is commentary on difficult, arduous films. Films that are a literal chore. Like, Adam and I watched this last night, and
I'm Adam, by the way. I don't think you introduced me.
Oh, shit.
We didn't introduce you.
Well, it's on the title. I'm sorry.
You see my name up there. Man, I'm Batman.
Fucking. We're doing guests for this round, and ladies and gentlemen, Adam Todd Brown.
Hey.
Is in the house.
Hey. And that would have been,
Sorry, I'm a real dumb.
I watched this movie.
Yeah, you did. And it's one good, of the reason that I
Tom and Jeff watch Adam watch Batman.
The reason that I needed Adam on this show is because on the day of this film's release, Adam texted me and he goes, "Let's go see a movie." And I was like, "Okay." And he goes, "Let's see Cloverfield." And I was like, "You don't pay attention to anything, do you?"
Yeah, I didn't have...
And we did. We saw Cloverfield on Batman versus Superman Day.
I feel like we made the right choice. But I don't... I didn't have any interest in seeing this when it came out. I don't know what... And I don't mind Zack Snyder.
Yeah, I don't hate him the way people tend to. I actually don't mind Watchmen at all.
I fucking love Sucker Punch,
not really.
Baby.
Oh, yeah, you are a massive Sucker Punch apologist.
So much so.
Oh, yeah, we did a whole best bad movie about Sucker Punch.
That was
Punch.
Probably like one of the first ones, wasn't it?
It sure was.
It was an early one, yeah. Actually, Adam wasn't the one who defended it, actually. It was Marina.
Eh?
There you go.
But I think Adam is on there.
Yeah, I'm sure
I'm sure Adam didn't play the part of the prosecution on that one. There he was. Right there with her.
Yep.
Yeah, I think this movie, Batman v Superman, I think for some reason, like... Yeah, the Snyder movies definitely have problems, but I really do feel like people wanted this movie to be worse than it is.
Does
that make sense?
I don't necessarily agree that they wanted it to. I think in retrospect, they want it to be worse than it is, but I don't think people wanted it to be bad when it's like, I know there was the Man of Steel controversy, but I think a lot of people were like, mm-hmm. Well, let's see where it's going to go. Because Man of Steel at the end, he fucking snaps a guy's neck. And everyone's like, hey, that's... Everyone's like, excuse me, that's not really... That's not really the right. big Superman thing to do.
Might as well just have him rip his head off.
Like, yeah. And like his dad was like, don't tell anybody your secret. It's like, what if they're going to die? And he's like, fuck them. Which is really kind of not...
Let me run off and get killed saving this dog that's going to live for 3 more years.
In a tornado. It's really like Man of Steel's dumb as fuck.
It's got problems.
Batman versus Superman is first off, it's tonally all over the place. Like it's tonally dark, but like pacing wise, it is fucking everywhere.
The pacing is weird. And I was seriously confused about one aspect of it that ultimately does become a reveal, but it's the guys in the beginning that suddenly shoot all of the soldiers and ride off on motorcycles. Like, they don't explain that for another hour and a half. And I was like, what the fuck were those guys?
what are those white men in like Namibia on motorcycles who, by the way, not hard to find, Clark.
Yeah. And they presumably rode in on those motorcycles too, which had to catch some eyes.
There was a whole thing.
The captain of the motorcycle gang has a neck tattoo, like the most identifying mark you can think of.
We're going to talk about the neck tattoo because, as Adam and I had noticed while we were watching yesterday, that neck tattoo is very fresh.
Yeah.
Like that neck tattoo is a dark, shiny black.
It looked like a temporary tattoo that came in a pack of beef jerky or something.
Yeah, like he went to the fair and got that neck tattoo done. Hey, have you seen a guy? He's like 6'4". He's got a neck tattoo, big wonky eye, guns, lots of guns. You seen that guy anywhere?
No.
We have not seen anybody here.
He's got a Jack Lynx tattoo right on his throat.
he's shooting people at random. You seen him? Yeah. You're Superman. You can probably see him. That's the weird part about that aspect, though, is like, okay, well, give me 3 minutes because we're about to get there. This movie starts.
This movie starts
the way everything that ever deals with Batman ever has to start, and that is with with dead parents. It's the funeral, and then it cuts back to Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Pa Wayne.
T. Wayne.
It's Thomas Wayne. And they picked Jeffrey Dean Morgan because there was a theory that they were going to have him become a Flashpoint Batman. Mm. So they picked somebody who's kind of a big name for later.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. He was supposed to be Flashpoint Batman, which is like an alternate universe thing. Now, we have the murder of the Waynes, and it is so...
Can we talk about how shitty this... Like, this is my least favorite portrayal
so
of the Waynes.
It's so snidered out because fucking... Thomas Wayne is, like, protecting people, and usually, like, Thomas Wayne is like, it's okay, calm down, we'll give you... You know, here's our money, it's not worth
it. He fucking goes... Jeffrey Morgan goes to punch him.
He's like...
He's got a gun, man.
Like, that guy's got a gun, and it's facing your wife.
Right.
And also, perfect time to swing.
And then his wife tries to fight him too.
And they don't really show this, but she is 100% shot in the face.
Right, she gets her head off.
She gets shot right in the face. And that kind of explains why Batman's even darker than other Batmans.
Sure.
Because he's like, my dad got shot when he was being violent. My mom got shot in the face right in front of me. Like, that's not just like, oh, my parents took a couple of bullets and I watched them bleed out.
Oh. Yeah, that's a special kind of trauma.
My mom's head blew up like that guy in the beginning of Glory.
It is. So I literally wrote, of course he took a swing at Joe Chill. Shot in the face.
Yeah, he can't resist snidering out the murder. Like, we didn't need that.
You know what's funny?
It really bugs the shit out of me.
I really think they only show that specific scene to put Jeffrey Dean Morgan in there for the future. Because
you don't make him just a cameo like that for no reason.
Exactly. But you also, I don't think Zack Snyder thinks that he needed another Batman origin, and he glosses over it very fast. He's like, oh, he's running, he falls, he's done.
It happens. Yeah, it happens in a montage in the opening credits. That's fine.
It's also really funny that the imagery is so like aggressive with that, where he's like the bats are like floating him up. When I was watching that, right. I'm like, I don't know what's actually happening right now.
Yeah, they were making like a whirlwind beneath him.
Yeah, like because that's
ascending
not,
him to the heavens. That's,
you know how
he cast
bats,
a spell?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He became a warlock.
That's how he gets carried to Hogwarts, is on a cloud of bats,
cloud of rabid bats.
Everybody else gets their owl. He shows up with just a pack of mangy bats,
floating like Christ over a fucking over some shitty British bog with a bunch of fucking bats pulling him in.
Shrieking leathery bats
during the day, no less.
Yeah, kids like, when's gym? When's gym class? We have flying class. He's like,
Quidditch.
I want to learn karate.
I want to see Bruce Wayne play Quidditch. Jesus Christ!
Just fucking throwing people. But this Bruce Wayne specifically.
Yeah. This Bruce Wayne specifically. Yeah, just beating Malfoy with his Nimbus.
Just fucking
wailing on him,
setting him on fire and shit. So it's like a flashback, and then we have a slightly less recent flashback where Bruce Wayne is arriving at the Battle of Metropolis. The Battle of Metropolis at the end of Man of Steel, or where Zod and Superman 9/11 Metropolis.
Hell yeah.
It's so 9/11, yeah.
It's almost to the point where you're like, we get it. You didn't have to do all of that. Avengers beat you to it.
Yeah.
But the Avengers didn't really show people getting killed in it.
Yeah, neither did Man of Steel until the second movie.
Yeah. This, like, this movie, it very much is responding to all the criticism about the ending of Man of Steel, where it's like, they must have killed thousands of people.
Is that what the memorial wall was for?
Yes.
Yes.
That was
cute.
With the best, that fucking memorial wall of all the people that Superman inadvertently killed in battle, behind a gigantic statue of Superman flexing.
Okay, yeah. See, when I was watching the movie, I was like, there's no way that's what that is.
It should be him pissing on the memorial.
Yeah. I was like, there's no way Superman killed all those people whose names are on the wall behind him, but okay.
Yeah, no. It is the most aggressive choice of a statue in a memorial of all time. It's like putting up a mosque at Ground Zero.
It's like having Viet Cong statues in front of fucking Vietnam Memorial.
You put Rambo flexing in front of the Vietnam Memorial.
It wasn't our war. So first off, it needs to be said, especially from what we know now with the survivors of 9/11, that Bruce Wayne 100% has like mesothelioma.
Sure. Yeah.
Like everybody in Metropolis everybody in this movie has some kind of cancer. In 3 years.
I was watching this last night by myself, intermittently texting Jeff, but I said aloud in the empty room when Bruce Wayne runs into that cloud of concrete,
the debris cloud.
I said aloud to no one. I was like, that would have knocked him down.
Oh yeah.
Not Bruce Wayne though.
And then he doesn't even have shit on his face when he comes through the other side.
Yeah. Now, what should be established that we need to add is that Ben Affleck is a wonderful choice for Batman.
He sure is. He was great.
I fucking love him as Batman and Bruce Wayne.
He is to date my favorite portrayal of Batman, and to date some of my bottom movies of Batman, like some of the worst movies.
I didn't realize he was a fucking giant until
he's huge. He's bigger than Superman.
Yeah,
this movie.
Batman is 6'4". I mean, excuse me, Ben Affleck is about 6'4". He's 6'3½, 6'4". And when you put that in the gym the way they did with this motherfucker, it's aggressive.
Yeah, he's a fucking giant.
And you don't even think of it that much, cause like when you see him in like Cavill, but then when you see him when we're going to flash forward to the nightmare scene, when he's fighting a bunch of fucking dudes that are like 5'8".
Mm-hmm.
Like if you go back and watch the nightmare scene, it looks like a guy, it looks like a teacher beating up his class. It's like the size difference is like a ninth grade teacher is just fucking everybody up.
That's a Batman movie I want to see.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. It's just teaching gym class and beating the shit out of all the middle schoolers.
Gym class hero.
So basically, like, everybody in the Wayne building, like, he's talking to, calling, like, the manager, and he's like, you need to leave. And I'm watching this being like, why are they still in there?
Right. Why were they waiting for Bruce Wayne to helicopter in and tell them to evacuate? It's like, no, dude, you should have been evacuated.
Yeah, he's like, oh, sorry, I only do a walkie. I don't have a phone. So it's not going to work.
Yeah, there were clearly things happening outside. You should at least start putting the emergency protocols in place.
Demons are flying through the air, smashing buildings down. Everybody stay at least on the 26th floor.
Yeah.
Get the fuck down.
I mentioned this when we were watching it, but it reminds me of, there's a scene in the Bryan Cranston Godzilla movie where one of the monsters is flying around downtown San Francisco, and this is hours into this massive rampage happening throughout the city, and its tail hits the top of this office building, and there's people there just doing their data entry jobs as if they wouldn't have been gone hours ago because there are monsters tearing San Francisco to shreds.
Right. I would already be on a plane to a different country.
Yeah.
Well, you'll lose your job if you leave.
Cool.
So you're going to lose my, I'm going to lose my.
Cool, man.
I'm out.
Yep. Cool. Bye.
And if we all survive, let's take that to court.
Outside. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you knew this, but the world is dying. And so basically, like,
mythological creatures outside.
Bruce Wayne is basically man on the street, literally at ground zero, watching this shit happen, watching Superman suck at fighting Zod.
Just be so ass trashy at it.
There's a scene where the heat vision is cutting out from the building.
It cuts the building in half.
Yeah. What's very interesting about that, though, is the scene in Man of Steel, they actually match the movements during the fight from Man of Steel to where the heat rays blast out in Batman versus Superman. So they're like that scene with, I thought that was like an interesting thing to do, to like show it from the other perspective.
It's cool when bad movies pay attention to the small details.
I mean, kind of.
Yeah, he didn't have to do that.
So Batman saves Lieutenant.
There's a lot they didn't have to do in this movie.
So
that's a perfect summary like of
35 minutes worth
of
shit.
To do that.
So basically, the building gets knocked down with Bruce Wayne's grandpa inside, who's like saying a prayer to Christ.
Yeah, Christ. I'd be praying to Superman.
Yeah. Dear Super God, please. So Bruce saves Lieutenant Dan. What's the guy's name? It's like Kiefer or something. Wallace. Wallace something.
You were close.
No, his last name is something like that. This dude becomes our delivery system of plot for like a lot of this movie. This is a dude who got fucked up and became Lieutenant Dan.
Right.
And then he saves a girl whose parents are dead, and he's like staring at Clark. He's like,
right. He's already plotting his murder.
It's kind
of
great.
That's like a large portion of this movie is Batman planning to murder a public figure.
Yeah. Now, an assassination. I think they even use the word assassination later.
Assassination. So,
Holly Hunter calls the kryptonite an assassination tool. And it's like, I mean, sure, fine. 18 months later, they're in the Indian Ocean, and a large rock that looks kind of like a Kryptonian ship is found, and then they take it up, it's kryptonite. It's
kryptonite.
So those people get cancer.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Everybody there has cancer. They're all so dead. Many people in the world have cancer now because of the events of Man of Steel.
Yes. Lots of cancer.
You can't just like terraform a planet for 30 minutes and not have that have dramatic lasting effects.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the plot of Man of Steel, by the way, if you haven't seen it, is General Zod is changing Earth to be like Krypton so he can bring his people back.
Oh, sure.
And then it stopped, but not immediately.
Like, that shit goes through one or two cycles before he stops it.
So we're in Now we cut to Nairobi, Africa, in what is just a real wonderful moment where Lois Lane shows up with Jimmy Olsen, her photographer, famed Jimmy Olsen.
They never tell us that's Jimmy Olsen. I think they only tell us that in like the director's cut.
Well, no, but she says Jimmy.
Like, does she?
The name is brought up, but like,
could have been Jimmy the Greek.
He's Jimmy Olsen. Like, he's officially Jimmy Olsen. And
that's
dumb. It's
so dumb.
Stupid use of him. We'll make Jimmy Olsen cool by getting him shot in the face immediately.
Right. Like, did he think we all hate Jimmy Olsen?
Yeah.
Like, why make Jimmy Olsen a secret CIA agent and then immediately shoot him in the face?
If I saw a photographer that looked like that, I'd be like, that's special ops.
Yeah, it's CIA. Yeah, absolutely.
That guy's in the CIA.
There's a gun in that camera.
Yeah. Yeah, or a tracking device, one of the two.
Yeah, like there's something. And you were right.
Yeah.
There was one.
Yeah, so that's one of the flaws of that scene, because I don't think that's actually what a CIA agent would look like.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'd be like, you look like a guy playing a CIA agent in a movie.
You look like an actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, of course, Zack Snyder has Jimmy Olsen killed immediately.
Yeah, instantly.
Like, doesn't make it very far. And he's like, Lois, it's fine. I'd be like, figure something out, dude.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you've got some training.
And it isn't fine, in fact.
He really gave up quick.
After that.
Yeah. And also, like, and then, okay, so basically, we find out that Superman's coming. The white guys know what's happening. Like, that tracking beacon, though, that's not for Superman. That's for the American government.
To locate this warlord.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He's CIA.
But, like, Superman could have just been like, I can just be up in space looking at you guys, and just when you need it, I'll just come help. And instead, Superman's like, let that guy die. Like, because here's the thing. Clark knows Lois is there. There's no way Lois is like, I'm going to go hang out with a warlord, Superman. Bye. And he's like, all right, mm-hmm. I'm going to write some football stories. That's not going to happen. He's there. So Clark let Jimmy Olsen get shot in the face.
He sure did.
Superman's pal.
Writing about the Philadelphia Eagles. Jimmy Olsen gets murdered in the desert.
Like, Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, was the name of the comic book. That is a long-running comic series in the Silver Age. And fucking Superman's just like, fuck him. Because he shows up right after.
Why are you hanging out with my woman?
Yeah, right? Fuck it. You stop flirting with Lois.
Yeah, he was sitting there listening to Jimmy Olsen's Blues by the Spin Doctors, just getting more and more angry.
I got a pocket full of kryptonite. Yeah, I know that song.
You don't need no Superman.
Superman. So
I got shot in the head in the desert.
If you want to shoot me, baby, just go ahead. Look, man, here's the thing. And this is why it's such a, this is like a reason for me to hate how this part was written. Was it was like Clark 100% would be there just out of range watching this happen.
Yeah, because he gets there pretty quick.
Lois, there's no way he'd be like, go do the most dangerous thing in the world.
Right.
I'll let you be. He's there. He's fucking there. So the fact that it all falls apart and they shoot Jimmy Olsen in the face and he does nothing about it.
Superman murdered Jimmy Olsen in this movie.
By definition, kind of, yeah.
He allowed him to die.
Yeah.
He should go to prison for breaking the Good Samaritan laws, if nothing else.
Yeah, that's how Seinfeld ended, for God's sake. Come on. She's accompanied by Jimmy Olsen. He's a CIA op. The camera was in the was hiding the film, the blank film, with the little tracking beacon, and we have the bodyguard. That's the guy. And this guy is, there's a whole lot going on with this guy. He's
this is
giant,
Jack Link's neck tattoo, guys.
Always sweaty. Wonky eyes.
He's always in like a slick layer of sweat.
Yeah, he's gone through a lot.
Looks like a Toni Braxton music video.
And And like Jimmy Olsen's like, she knows nothing. You know, like she, it was like, literally me. Like, and then they're like, well, that's fine. It's fine. And then the warlord takes Lois as a hostage, threatening to kill her. And then Superman shows up and paralyzes him.
Yeah, absolutely kills that guy.
He wrecks that motherfucker.
That guy didn't even have a. And you see her, she like kind of is like, she like gives him permission to murder the guy.
Yeah, yeah. And she lets go of his arm, which I don't know why she was holding that in the first place.
That might be a reflex.
But if she had free use of her arms, throw some bows.
I don't think you need to with Superman there.
Yeah, but it took him a second to get there at least.
Yeah, I mean, that's like watering your lawn in the rain.
Yeah,
like, you're kind of like, I guess this is kind of not compared to what nature can do. I'm not doing much.
Sure.
But yeah, man, the fact that Clark just lets Jimmy Olsen get offed and then's like, oh, hey guys, what's going on? I'm here. Yeah. What are you guys doing? Made it.
Let me just paralyze this guy real quick.
You guys killing some people?
You're killing some guys?
You guys got some guys you want to kill?
Let me tackle this guy through three walls at the speed of sound.
Brown people? I'm here for it. Yeah, I guess you need to wreck your life.
That guy popped. Like both ends.
Just the contact alone.
Yeah, he probably exploded.
Yeah, like I guarantee one of his organs was vomited out.
Superman should have been covered in entrails.
They do that a lot. I mean, that's did you watch The Boys?
No.
Oh, you should. It's great.
Did either of your guys see Brightburn also?
I did see Brightburn.
I did not.
The kid he's like evil Superman, so he has evil Superman's powers. And there is a scene where he hits a guy exactly like that, and the guy fucking explodes.
Yeah. So, potentially the only good part of that movie.
It was a couple of words.
Imagine if you are, when you're like a criminal. Imagine when you're if you're a criminal and you meet Superman, the pants shitting experience that's about to happen.
Superman really, like, if you take like a step back, he's indistinguishable from a demon.
He shoots lasers out of his eyes. He is a demon. He's fucking War Horse.
Oh yeah, when Clark Kent lands down there, you know you're in trouble. There's a Senate committee hearing, which is like this weird thread. It's like such a weird thread. That's like Superman has to be held accountable. I'm from Kentucky. I'm Holly Hunter.
And they like never really. Yeah, it is such a pointless thread because they never say how they intend to hold Superman accountable.
Yeah, like, I mean, we're still in a universe where they don't know who Superman is, right?
It's funny, too, because
they're not like reading Clark Kent football articles and being like, that Superman can write.
I mean, it's so funny because SNL does a great sketch on that where it's The Rock playing Superman and like everybody knows it's him and they just keep like pranking him and shit and like making like you know like oh no I you know what's that a local tobacco store is Prince Albert in a can and right, I think the prince will be just fine.
Like you can see his costume poking up underneath his suit. it's very funny.
I think Conan did one too where he played Moleculo, the Molecular Man, and every time someone would say Moleculo, he would go, the Molecular Man! And they'd be like, you're Moleculo. We know you are. Oh man, it's just a whole thing. Like the Senate thing is so toothless and silly.
It's a pointless thread. It really is.
What it really is it's a statement on how talking doesn't solve anything. Like, that's really all.
Well, that's true.
Where it's like, we here in America, we talk out our problems. And then
Superman needs to know we don't condone it.
And then she gets blown up by a wheelchair and a jar of piss. So like,
a jar of piss. Her last moments on Earth are clutching a jar.
She should have at least tasted it.
Yeah. Oh, I love this.
It might have been Granny's peach tea.
Oh, is Granny here?
Oh, I miss my Granny. Basically,
and then like it winds up, it also it doubly winds up not mattering because that thread is pointless, and they never really talk about what they plan to do about Superman. And then her other Holly Hunter's other function in the movie is to serve as kind of a foil for Lex Luthor, because he's like trying to get her to allow him to import the kryptonite, but then he just does it illegally anyway.
Yeah,
it's like, why would he even bother asking permission? He would just smuggle it in.
There are so many poor threads in this, like when they're like, what's the white Portuguese, what's the white Portuguese, and they're like, oh, it's a boat. Okay.
Like, oh, okay. Oh, it's Lex Luthor's boat. It's like, and it's clearly just written on the side of it. It's yeah. not even like
they're trying to rosebud this shit. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
But so there's something interesting where at the meeting, they have a refugee that's talking about how like after Superman left, the warlords just fucking massacred the entire village. Yeah,
because of course they would.
And it's like, yeah, man. In Iron Man, he took out the bad guys, at least, when it was that situation.
Right.
And he's just a guy in a suit. You're a god that can hear everything.
Yeah, right. you don't want to leave witnesses.
Yeah, you need to leave a bunch of red stains in
Superman,
the sand dunes.
Superman doesn't want to leave witnesses.
Superman
can't. So there's this meeting. Meanwhile, Clark's just... Lois is having like a PTSD bath. And by the way, we don't know what the timeline is on this. There's no way to find out if this happened earlier today or 3 weeks ago.
Right.
Because
right. Very unclear.
She's like in the tub, like, I'm so PTSD'd and I'm so hurt and I'm so wounded from this thing that happened to me, which is like fine. But at the same time, like, that didn't just happen because they had to like find this woman and fly her out to the city.
Yeah, I mean, she had to get back home. She wasn't in a bathtub in the desert
at least.
Yeah. And meanwhile, and then Clark shows up with groceries, like, hey, yeah, groceries. It's like, hey, people are talking about how you're responsible for a bunch of villagers dying. I got some kale.
Got some grosh.
Got some kale and some bread.
Little French bread sticking out of the bag.
He says, I don't care what people say. Yeah. So he literally says he doesn't care.
Yeah, that woman said that you're responsible for the death of her children.
Yeah. In that case, you should care.
I want to care.
I like
you triggered a massacre of an entire village.
When that scene started, I think I said out loud while I was watching this with Jeff that it would be really funny if he just got in the tub wearing his clothes. And then, boy, does that motherfucker do that exact thing seconds later.
That's absolutely what happens.
Oh, also, I forgot to mention that Lois found a bullet in her notebook, like a rare bullet. And then she takes the bullet in the tub with her. She takes the bullet.
Oh, she sure does.
Into the tub.
Maybe she gave herself a little rub.
And it's funny because like there's then a thread where she tries to find out who's responsible for the bullet. And it's like, well, they didn't need that bullet either. They're not like anti-Superman bullets. It was just bullets.
Right.
Like these are like unheard of bullets. Could have got them at Walmart.
That no is a need. Weird thread because it's just like the white Portuguese thread where it's just a really circular, unnecessarily long-winded way to be like, oh, it's Lex Luthor. It's like, well, we know it's Lex Luthor. He's Lex Luthor.
You know
He's
what it
the
is?
The bad guy.
You know that the casino thing in The Last Jedi that everybody hated because it was cyclical and the point of it was is that like sort of the randomness of things not going the way that you want them to be and how you deal with it. And it was like kind of artistically done. And then here it's just the opposite where it's meant to be like important to the plot. And instead it ends up just being like a waste of script.
Yeah.
Cause it's all,
we really didn't, at the very least, we only needed one of those. And I don't even think we needed either of them.
Yeah. There are 14 different choose your own adventure moments in this movie that like go in both directions. That like there's 14 or 15 different moments that you're just like, that's not in this movie. Is it? That's in this movie. That's the same movie. Like when you think about it later, you're like,
the same movie.
Like Lois in the bathtub was that's the same movie with Doomsday?
Yeah.
And the one where the Flash comes in a dream? That's the same movie?
Oh, the Flashpoint thing.
It's because the movie is so fucking long.
It did not have to be this long.
It's like when you think about how Avengers Endgame came out this year. It's like, no, it didn't. That came out 5 years ago. What are you talking about?
Captain Marvel came out this year.
That's nuts.
That's the one to me where I'm like,
that movie came out in 2008.
Yeah, I was like, that was like 2014, right? yeah, that's one of those that you're just like, yeesh. The Clark is like, and she's like, hey, there's a lot of people concerned about the shit you did in Nairobi. He's like, I just want you safe. She's like, okay, I get that, and I am, and I appreciate that. But we also do need to remember that woman from Africa, she's got nobody left. And you kind of made that happen. And also, you could have
kind of on you.
You could have at least broken some forearms while you were there.
Right. You could have stopped the warlords. You're Superman. You can do literally everything. Just
heat vision their fucking wrists.
Yeah.
You know, no hands. Can't pull a trigger if you got no hands.
Yeah, rip all their thumbs off so they can't fire a gun.
And then, yeah, and then Adam's favorite moment, where he just gets in with all his clothes.
Why?
I like that he steps in, because part of me wanted to be like, wouldn't it be funny if he just floated in? Reminder, I'm a god. Just wanted to remind you, I'm a god.
Yeah, that's one of the. I don't remember at what point in the movie it happens, but every time he takes off into the sky when he's in front of Lois, there's this like big explosion in this like big deafening boom. And then at one point near the end of the movie, he just like floats into the air and casually flies away. It's like, you could have been doing that the whole time, you fucking asshole.
He's been just fucking ruining Lois's hearing and shit.
Oh, there's people around. Let me make this look cool.
Just showing off for Lois.
What an asshole.
I think he's a real asshole. Now we cut to Gotham in arguably the best. I think this might be the best scene in the movie, which is our first introduction to Batman. Where they like go to like an abandoned sex crime house and some Gotham cops. And they show up and it's like, oh, and they look and there's a fucking batarang in like the wall.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, it's in like a post something.
It's in a hallway. Yeah, it's in the trim of the in the hallway, and there's actually no way, there's no angle for that to have worked as a throw. Like it's supposed to be. Oh,
he standing to throw that?
he threw this in, but he literally stabbed it into the wall to be like, this is what I do. It's an impossible angle.
Maybe he just stabbed it into the wall. So he's like, they got to know what the fuck is up as soon as they walk in. They got to know that this is a Batman joint.
So they find the women. They're like, oh, we're going to get you out. And the women close the fucking gate. And they're like, no, we're not stepping out of here. We're good in here for now.
And yeah, because they say it's still out there. Yeah. Like they're scared of Batman.
Yeah, that scene was great.
And then, you know, you hear a guy screaming.
No, I do not blame them. Batman is frightening in this scene.
No, it's so, this is the best. This is the best usage of like a direct filming Batman. Like Batman Begins has a really good scene in a warehouse where he's taking people out and he's like really like kind of like sneaky. Like,
yeah,
but this is just fucking great.
That scene when he's just hanging in the corner
and you don't even really notice it at first, and then it pans and you're like, oh shit.
And it's like, oh shit, that's what bats do.
Yeah. And then he fucking like scrambles out real fast, but it's so good. And he brands the dude.
I like that
he's got that brand. That's where you're just like, oh, okay, because that brand is supposed to, it's supposed to like brand you as a sex predator, and so when you go to prison they murder you.
You get murdered. They say that on the news later, where it's like it's essentially a death sentence.
Also, it's
our justice system working exactly as it's supposed to.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, technically, I didn't do it.
I don't have to save you.
Well,
you kind of do.
You might have to.
Yeah.
It's really bad. The cop tries to shoot him, misses, and then almost shoots his friend, misses point blank with a shotgun at his friend.
That would have been a hell of a newspaper write-up.
Yeah, well, that fucking, the paperwork alone on that.
Yeah.
What happened? Batman took a shotgun and shot Vasquez in the chest. a shotgun. That's not Batman's MO.
I don't know why he did it. I was like, Batman, no, stop. What are you doing? And he wouldn't listen to me. And he blew Vasquez away. What can you say? What can you do?
Yeah,
it's not my fault. I tell you, I definitely didn't shoot him by accident. Yeah, that's absolutely not what happened.
And we need, and so he's got the brand. And we also need to mention that that Ben Affleck is a tank in this movie.
He's fucking gigantic.
I don't
yeah.
think we can mention it enough.
I don't
he looks like
stop.
Bane.
He does look like Bane.
Like that scene you were talking about where it looks like he's fighting ninth graders, that's yeah. what he looked like because he's got the fucking trench coat on.
Yeah. Man, it's yep. fucking. That scene is.
How
just...
do you like them apples?
I don't like them apples, Will. He's great. I like that he's the Frank Miller Batman. He's the Dark Knight Returns.
Yes.
Like the suit looks like that. Yep. He's a
stocky.
Fucking giant like he is in Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah. He's the most recognizable person outside of his costume, aside from Clark.
Yeah.
Right.
He looks like Jose Canseco.
Is that billionaire Jose Canseco?
That's who should play Batman.
There it is.
Oh, I would buy so many tickets to see Jose Canseco as Batman.
Holding a bat and beating people with it.
Batmobile's just a Ferrari. From the dealership Ferrari.
a Jose Canseco Batman. Like, tell me. You didn't pay money for this.
You didn't
this.
Pay money for this.
I love that it's just a Ferrari he bought in Florida.
Got vanity plates that say Batman. Drives it when he's not Batman.
Yeah, his vanity plates say
he lets me borrow his car. Big deal.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. So we have that Nairobian saying about how if Superman had been in her presence, she would say this really great line where she said, like, how would you decide which lives count and which ones do not? And Clark is like watching that. And he's like, ah, yeah. she's got a point. I know you don't want to say it out loud, but it's a race thing, ma'am. Did you see the woman I saved? She doesn't look like you. That's all I'm saying. We have Perry is
Lawrence Fishburne
is pissed that Clark Kent doesn't want to write about football and
wants to write about the Gotham Bat. He's like, you're gonna write about the fucking Eagles right now.
I'm gonna say this real quick. Clark Kent should be fired so hard. Like, Perry is so, he's like, write about the Eagles, and he's like, no. And he should just be like, I'm your fucking boss.
Yeah.
Do the thing that I'm fucking telling you to do. And then later he's like looking for him. He's like, where is he? It's like, just fire him.
He's like fucking disappears for days at a time. Like, how does he still have a job?
Where does he go, man? I know in the comics they say like he gets time off because he'll just bang out in like a minute and a half. He'll bang out like a 1,000-word article or something. And just hand it in. He's like, here's the thing I've been working on for this long time. Type fast.
Yeah, he types at the speed of sound.
But like, Perry's right. Just fucking write about your job. You're a sports writer.
Write your fucking football article.
Yeah, write about the Jets, you piece of shit.
Also, I want to talk about the Alfred and Bruce relationship because Alfred is cut between two different things where it looks like he's trying to radicalize Bruce. And then also comment on how Bruce has been radicalized at the same time.
Yeah.
I didn't get quite that impression. I got the impression that he's trying to push back, but he still is going to do whatever Bruce asks him to do. So yeah.
Just make me my bombs.
Make my bombs. Help me murder this guy.
I got to kill a god. All right.
You know, it seemed like they Bruce. Didn't interact that much in person. It felt like Alfred was like OnStar.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
he just called him up remotely when he needed shit.
He probably worked with Ben Affleck for like a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really don't have many scenes together.
Yeah.
And I think they're only ever in two different locations with each other. They're in the little, his little glass house. And then in the Batcave. And I think that's it.
Yeah, it's the whole thing. So, in the Daily Planet meeting room, they see that Wallace Keefe has lost everybody. And he is defacing the Superman statue, writing the false god. Like, he gets up there and
surprising now, upper body strength.
Yeah, his grip strength is out of control.
Yeah.
Oh, dude's a powerhouse.
From the top up.
Yeah, right. He's got no legs.
Yeah.
He ain't got no legs.
when the scene was unfolding the first time I saw this movie, because you see him cutting a rope, like, I seriously thought he was going to hang himself from the Superman statue.
That would have been so amazing.
That, and I think that might have actually been better, right? Than what ends up happening.
Yeah.
Like, it gets the same point across. It doesn't sort of beat the dead horse by drawing the storyline out. And it's like, that's such an intense image.
The there's a couple of points too that I'm kind of glossing over. One is that Anatoly is based out of Gotham, which is where all the crime fighting is. You know, the
weird place to set up shop,
right? Like, he's in like the docks of Gotham. It's like, that's not where you want to be, man.
No.
Right. Haven't you been paying attention?
Make it a challenge.
Right about the bat.
Go to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You can get them frequent flyer miles, man. Like, get there. We kind of like, I think I glossed over it, but LexCorp, they have kryptonite. They've sort of established that kryptonite exists. It's a thing.
Yeah.
He's got a little piece of it.
Yeah. And he's trying to get Holly Hunter to allow him to bring in that big rock from the Indian Ocean, which again doesn't make any sense because fucking Lex Luthor would just smuggle it in anyway. Why is he asking for the Senate's permission?
And then they bring
up
the metahuman thesis, which is that all the stories of gods and heroes you've heard of are actually metahumans. Yay.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, isn't that what they are anyway? Kinda.
That's right. Don't piss.
I'm Holly Hunter.
Don't piss in my face and tell me it's raining Granny's peach tea. I remember that.
Got some of Granny's peach tea, yeah.
Fucking weird thing to say.
She's a weird one. Yeah, his grip. Also, when he's getting arrested, he's yelling. I'm sorry. I'm kind of all over the place, and I apologize. But he's yelling, "I work for Bruce Wayne," when he got arrested.
Yes.
At the statue, and it's like, it's a very "I work for Dick Jones" situation.
Dick Jones. Runs OCP. OCP runs the cops.
Bruce Wayne owns Waytech. Wayne Tech owns the cops.
I don't know what he thought that was going to do for him.
LexCorp is something. They show up. He's got like a bowl of Jolly Ranchers. He feeds a guy one.
One eats a bowl of fucking Jolly Ranchers. That would take hours.
I think it's like a when you come into the office thing. Like, you know, the bowl of candy.
Yeah, I guess.
I argue it would take you years to eat a bowl of Jolly Ranchers.
No, you pour a little milk in there, you know?
Eat them wrapper.
Dunk them in your coffee.
Yeah. A little biscotti.
Yeah.
Basically, Lex is demanding access to the ship, Zod's body, and he wants an import approval of kryptonite. That's what he wants. And then one of the guys is like, okay.
Yeah, what does he have on this guy?
He just likes cherry Jolly Ranchers, I guess.
Yeah, he really just likes being fed Jolly Ranchers by a weird Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, he's like, give me access to the Kryptonian ship. And the guy goes, done. And he goes, complete remains of the alien's body for testing. And he's like, sure. And it's like, can you authorize that?
Yeah, how did that one guy have
alien's body.
Is that guy the king of Metropolis? Yeah.
this guy's the president.
Yeah, that's very high level security clearance.
Yeah, that's.
I also want the Roswell crash stuff. Done.
And give me three ghosts. We got them. Yeah, we'll give you those ghosts.
And I need Tupac on my team. Admit it.
All right, Tupac, come on in. Holly, If You Hear Me starts playing.
That's a jam, here, Tupac.
We cut to it's a whole thing, man. It's so weird. This is the Lex thing. We need to talk about Lex's characterization and acting, because Jesse Eisenberg is an objectively great actor.
He is. Yeah.
I accept that. The choices that he made for this specific character baffle me.
Yeah, to a degree. I like his performance, actually.
Yeah, I didn't mind it either.
It's an odd, you know, it's not an obvious way to play Lex Luthor.
Here's I'll tell you what I thought from the preview, from the trailers, and what I was expecting is that, because in the trailer it's like, oh, hey, look at me, oh, like all goofy, and then I always thought that as soon as the doors close, like the smile goes off his face and he gets to work,
right?
Like that, like I thought is like he was like clearly doing a facade, and then when you watch the movie, you're like, no, this is the whole thing.
Yeah, it's just like it didn't not remind me of him playing Mark Zuckerberg.
I mean, it's not the far off characterizations, yeah, either.
Like, I think that's part of why he felt like it. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't mind him as that character. I liked his performance.
It's
it was no Adventureland, but
it's true. A few things reached the heights of Adventureland.
Man, I watched that movie.
Also, I've heard that he's doing an impression of Max Landis.
Fuck Max Landis, god damn it.
Yeah,
I mean,
and knowing that works. I'm just like, oh yeah, that's delightful.
Bruce shows up to an underground fight in Gotham. Nobody questions that.
He sure does. Just yeah, as Bruce Wayne.
Nobody's like, it's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah,
like if you saw a billionaire,
Gotham.
If you were just at a secret place with a billionaire.
Like if Bill Gates showed up to an underground fight club.
Yeah. Like if you're at a cockfight and fucking
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, it's there. You're like, the fuck? That's the plot of Lionheart. Starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. That's the literal plot of Lionheart.
Yeah, it's Bruce Wayne shows up to an underground fight.
Yeah, and I kind of... like that's right after he says that line about how we've always been criminals, right? And yeah, I feel like they were trying to drive that point home, but also people would have been like, hey, Bruce Wayne's here.
It's one of those things where
everyone would notice you.
Like he probably can't go to a Jamba Juice in Gotham City without...
He doesn't do his own shop. Like he can't.
He doesn't shop for his own underground fights.
Like if I was at an underground fight club and Bruce Wayne showed up, I'd probably try and fight Bruce Wayne.
I would not.
I don't know. Why not? Well, yeah.
You see him?
Yeah, that's a good point. If it was Christian Bale Bruce Wayne, maybe.
Oh, I would fuck Christian Bale Bruce Wayne up hard.
I know. Like, on the list of people from Boston, I've always liked to think you would probably beat the shit out of Ben Affleck, but now I'm not so sure.
No.
Yeah, he'd wear you the fuck out.
No, Ben Affleck would fucking destroy me. You know who I want to fight? Michael Keaton Batman.
Now I'm fighting Matt Damon all on my own.
You don't want
to
do that.
All that Bourne supremacy training. We're all fucked up.
We are done.
I'll just film it on my phone.
World star!
Yeah, while Kevin Smith beats the shit out of you with his phone.
That's the movie I want to see. Us getting our asses beat by the comic book heroes.
By the Viewisk universe.
Oh, man. No.
Fucking anybody
Jason
kicks the
Lee
shit out
beating
of
you with a skateboard.
That's it. That's exactly how, going to town on Shannon Doherty. Oh, man. We got there.
We did it.
Fighting two Joey Lauren Adamses. Oh, man. So they're at the fight, and the black guy's getting beat, and Bruce like whispers, like, try beating him. And, like,
yeah, they don't make it clear what he whispers in his ear.
I think he's saying, like, he's dropping his right arm or something like that.
Yeah.
Generally, like, in fighting, you're looking for people's tells when they're going to throw a punch. So he might have just been like, he drops his left hand before he's going to throw.
Yeah.
And so once you see it drop, then you fucking throw that shot.
And the guy was like, all right, you're Bruce Wayne. You're my boss.
Yeah. Thanks, stranger.
Did Bruce, like, how much money is to be made in underground fight clubs that Bruce Wayne is even participating
That's
in?
How he made his wealth. Oh, and it's so he goes.
He's looking for like the next UFC fighter to sponsor.
My family was hunters and then UFC fighters.
Bruce, he's so famous. It makes no sense.
Yeah, why is he at this underground fighting?
Like that fucking. And
maybe it was Bruce Wayne's underground fight club.
Welcome to Wayne's.
It might be.
Wayne's that, World.
That might be why there was only like 30 people there, because you'd have to imagine, like, as soon as somebody noticed him, everybody would be texting everybody about it, and then that place would be full of people being like, fucking Bruce Wayne is here watching these guys fight.
Yeah, Bruce Wayne is watching Mandingo fights. It is uncomfortable.
In a parking garage.
So Bruce Wayne's got his winning ticket, and he like slides up next to Anatoly and he hands the ticket, and the guy looks at him. He's like, you know, people say take luck personally or some shit like that. And the guy's like, yep.
Cool.
And it's like, how shitty of a spy is this dude?
Yeah.
Anatoly, he's like, he sucks.
He really does. He puts his phone down on the bar, which is like full of internationally incriminating shit. Like that thing would never leave my hand.
Yeah, Bruce clones
like
that
I wouldn't
shit
set
real
it
fast.
Down on the bar. I would put it in my pocket or something. Yeah, Bruce just clones it.
Yeah, I'd have it in a Faraday cage.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like it's
that,
a
and
whole
that's not
thing.
But that's not a Batman move, by the way. People can clone your device. Like he should be aware of that as a spy.
So it's he's like, oh, you know, I'm looking for the white Portuguese, blah, blah, blah. They have a brief conversation. He clones the thing, blah, blah, blah. And then Bruce basically finds out that Luther is the guy. And he's like, I'm going to break into his house as Batman. And Alfred is like, you don't need to do that because you've been invited to his house like tonight. Here's your invitation. And it's like, oh, how convenient.
Very serendipitous.
Yeah,
because he's having like a fundraiser event. Sure.
Yeah, for like some library.
Yeah,
or some
books.
Shit. It's like it's about books. Like he gets up there and starts babbling about books and
because that's
and
what
shit.
People with that much money do. They hold fundraisers for library books instead of just buying the library books.
Look, man, there's not really like. One thing about this movie that you have to have is like a complete and total lack of logical theory. Like you can't think of
because it's not that good of a movie.
No, it's not. It's very bad. it's bad. It's not. There are parts of it that are not unenjoyable. Like
it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be though. Cause I had never seen it until last night.
I think the cast is very good.
The cast is good. Mm-hmm. It's just,
I don't necessarily like the Lex Luthor portrayal that much. But I recognize that Eisenberg is making a decision and he's a talented person.
I feel like the government needs to step in when it comes to movies over two hours long.
Right.
I think I did a tweet where production companies should be like build like $1 million for every minute over 90 their movie.
Yeah.
Is.
And this is
the
a good
FBI
example.
Just shows up and shuts the movie off.
Yep.
Cut.
Like, if you have a two-hour-long movie, that's an extra $30 million from your budget. You have to pay
or you gotta get
$30 million extra to have a two-hour movie instead of a 90-minute movie.
Or we as a nation get to vote on whether your movie sounds like it should be over 2 hours or not.
It's a whole thing. So we get to the fundraiser, right? I think that's where we jump to. Let me look at my...
It's the next Perry, thing is the fundraiser. I'm
well,
sure,
there's
yeah.
the Perry being condescending to Clark and sending him to Lex's place. We have the Granny's peach tea quote.
More like Granny's peach pea.
And it's
pea tea.
We have the thing where Lois goes into the men's room, you know, to get the information about the bullet because she's still a fucking character in this movie that we forgot about. And he tells her to don't invent a conspiracy theory to put back his halo about Superman. That's a fucking good line.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
Bruce Wayne is a massive drinking problem now. That's fine.
He's got the money for it, though.
This oh, this is what I was talking to Adam about yesterday. I was like, you know when like people describe someone as extra?
Mm-hmm.
This movie is so extra.
It really is.
It's very
like
extra,
that's yeah. The best way to describe this movie, I think, is it's so fucking extra. And there go my notes.
It feels cool. Like the theatrical release, which is the one we watched.
Yes.
Feels like the director's cut.
Yeah, there's a director's cut, and I'm like, nope.
No way. Yeah, and the thing about a director's cut, those exist for a reason, and it's because they are not the better version of the movie. Those scenes are cut for a reason.
Yeah,
they're rarely wind up being better than the theatrical
like
version.
Like the director's cut of Tropic Thunder ruins Tropic Thunder.
I haven't even watched it.
It's so bad. And this, like, it felt like a director's cut. There were so many scenes where I was like,
why did you add this?
Yeah, like, don't bore us. Get to the chorus, goddammit.
The bullet thread can just not exist.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to exist. Like, I don't know why there needs to be so much intrigue in Batman versus Superman. You have verses in the fucking title. You don't need conspiracy intrigue. You have two athletes fist fighting.
It felt like, well, we got Amy Adams. We want to keep her in this movie for as long as we can. Like, that's what it felt like to me. And sometimes it's cool when there's a big name actor that's just in a movie for a few minutes.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Fuck, Bryan Cranston in Godzilla.
Yeah, man.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Not in it for long.
Batman's looking at his suit, and then he walks away, and there's the Robin suit with the "Joke's on You, Batman" spray painted on it.
Oh yeah,
there's a lot of hints going on in that. Zack Snyder does do a lot to like aggressively try to set up the DCEU. You know, he's like really trying to push a lot of Easter eggs, and like part of you just little, has to be li- like, calm down
a little man. Bit. I like all the Batman stuff because. It's not a setup so much as I didn't take it as a setup so much as just being like he's a grizzled shitty old Batman. Yeah. He's been Batman for a while and this stuff has already happened to him. Like they mentioned the Joker a few times and it's clear the Joker has already killed Robin.
Yeah. Clark and Bruce all go to Lex's house and this is going to be I think the culmination of this episode should be the party. Because the party is the big moment where it starts to get like, where they're like, okay, act over now. Like they officially sign off the act. So Bruce shows up to the party, which is in an empty field at Lex's house.
Sure.
The geography is very confusing.
I thought it was at the building.
It's in a building, but like he's driving through like, oh no, that's Wayne Manor. That's all fucking.
He's leaving Wayne Manor when he does that.
It's a
you absolute fraud.
Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you, Jeff?
I'm sorry.
Did you even watch this movie before we did this episode?
You watched me watch this movie. It's very confusing. So
yeah.
So Bruce is getting out, and then Clark goes.
Oh, is this a confusing movie? Yeah. I didn't know.
Clark goes, "Who's that?" Guy's like, oh, you don't really pay much attention, huh? That's Batman.
That is dumb that he makes his living as a reporter and he doesn't recognize Bruce Wayne, who lives across the water and is like a billionaire, one of the most famous billionaires in the world.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
What are you doing, Clark?
Bruce is there to like steal information. That's what he's there for.
He's not good at it.
No, he's not. He's not very. He's not very.
He's a bad spy.
World's greatest detective.
he would have got Jimmy Olsen in the Middle East.
Clark is like, hey, I'd like to interview you about your bat vigilante. And then Bruce Wayne is like, you really think the Daily Planet should be throwing stones there every time you're fucking. Flying alien saves a kitten, you put him on the front page. And he's just like, well, there's some people that think the brand of vigilante justice or something. And he's just like, maybe it's just because I'm from Gotham, but we're all set with freaks dressed like clowns. It's a good diss.
It is.
And he also, well, doesn't he also begins that conversation where like Clark tells him he's from the Daily Planet and he's like, is that one that I own?
Yeah. Like, do I own that one?
Yeah. Just fucking dunking on Superman.
it's a whole thing. So Diana shows up and is like, I fucking Bruce.
Sure.
And he's like, yeah, man, get me some of that ballerina or whatever that is. I need some of that.
Yeah.
I need some of that. But meanwhile, Alfred's like telling him where to go, and Clark can hear him while Lex is slurring his speech and like not being able to hold a cohesive statement. Alfred's
like that pickup artist show that used to be on VH1 where they'd
Alfred is mystery.
Yeah. In those nerds here. Put your hand on that stripper's leg, son.
The game. Alfred's reading the
bat game.
Yeah, he's written.
So Clark picks up the radio transmission and is like, oh, you're Batman. Like, he gets it. And then the hacking machine gets put in. It has a timer, like a countdown.
Like
timer.
An egg timer on it.
And then Mercy finds him. Mercy is Lex's smoking hot assistant.
Boy, is she.
She sure is. She finds him. He's like, I'm trying to find trying to take a piss.
Yeah. She's like, I was just looking for the bathroom. I guess that was two and martinis too many.
She could not be less suspicious.
Yeah.
She's like, all right.
Yeah. She's like, okay.
Rich people get away with fucking everything. So I don't have too much trouble believing that she'd just be like, all right, fucking Bruce Wayne's drunk downstairs Lex's building.
He has that Playboy image that you like wouldn't.
But like Lex hasn't even told her that, hey, Bruce Wayne might be the fucking enemy.
Yeah, you know? I mentioned this to Tom earlier, but I feel like the Bruce Wayne concept is like, do you know who that Dan Blitzerian guy is?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel
Instagram
like that's
guy.
Who he's trying to like, Bruce Wayne's trying to be is like a little bit like I'm a drunk douche. I'm a rich douche or a businessman. Yeah. A business douche.
Business douche. Bruce Wayne business douche.
Bruce Wayne business douche.
So
just to try and throw as much smoke as he possibly can so people don't think he's Batman, because otherwise it's like, oh, that enormous billionaire. Yeah, he's probably Batman.
He has the funds and body to be Batman.
Right. Unlimited resources.
Yeah. He has unlimited resources and is also 6'4". There's like 9 of those people in the world.
And yeah.
One of them lives in Gotham. Lex having a breakdown, real fun. Clark, that's when Clark interviews him about the bat vigilante. He says the bad freaks dressed like clowns. Lex comes up, and here we have what might possibly be the most poetically sweaty dialogue.
It's so weird.
That I can possibly imagine. Because he goes,
like,
he's like, Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne. It's like, how do you know Clark Kent? That guy writes for a football copy.
Makes it like it's, he like makes it seem like it's this huge meeting, but it's like, Clark Kent's a nobody. and he doesn't know he's Superman yet, I don't think.
No.
See?
He shakes me and goes, ooh, he's so strong. He's like, ooh, so solid. And he looks at Bruce and goes, you do not want to pick a fight with this man. And it's like, was this for the trailers?
Yes, it's 100%. It was in all of the trailers.
You just wrote this line in the trailers. This is
Like, he has no reason to call out the fact that these two guys are talking. Because it's like, oh, look, Bruce Wayne's talking to that guy that I don't recognize.
Yeah. Now, there's something interesting because they cut to the news in the back that there's a massive fire in Mexico, in like Guadalajara or something, during a Dia de los Muertos celebration.
The only tragedy unfolding in the entire world at that time.
Yes. Now,
yes.
Here's the thing. They just did a Batman movie that took place during Halloween and they didn't mention it once. Like, isn't Dia de los Muertos literally the day after Halloween?
It sure is.
I think so, yeah.
Like, there wasn't anything going on. They didn't even mention it was Halloween. It was
no one in costumes.
Happens to be November 1st.
Lois didn't show up with cat ears at the office.
Six people dressed. Clark comes in dressed like Superman. Everyone's like, oh, shit.
That is a great costume.
Yeah, you could do birthday parties, man. You look excellent.
You should go to Six Flags. You should be their Superman.
Trick-or-treaters come up to Bruce's weird glass mansion while he's just laying next to the woman he just fucked.
You know, if you took those glasses off, you'd look just like Superman.
I mean, like, splitting image. You're Superman.
You are Superman, right, Clark?
And
you're fired.
And then he goes. And
we still need you to write about football.
Still, you still have.
You still got a job, Superman.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, we ain't paying your rent so you can be Superman. So then Bruce is like, I'm gonna go back and get my cloning machine, and it's gone. And then he looks back and, ooh, Wonder Woman's so demure, and she's walking away. And it's a very anti-Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman is supposed to be portrayed as like a very bold woman that's like, I don't understand why you're being demure. Shut the fuck up. And she's like, ooh,
yeah,
I got your flash drive. And then she like
That part's a little strange, yeah.
And then she like leaves and she gets in like possibly Bruce's car and steals it. I don't know. Like, it's in the exact same kind of car that Bruce drove into the fundraiser in. And then she leaves.
Yeah.
It's like Superman would have caught that car.
No, he wouldn't have, because Lois wasn't being endangered by it.
Yeah.
True.
Unless she was about to run Lois over in the street.
And I think that is going to be a sode here.
That's episode one,
That's
you guys.
Be episode one. Batman versus Superman.
I'm excited to do the next five episodes about
Jesus
this movie.
Christ, man.
Yeah. to cover the rest of this saga.
This is the Gandhi of the DC universe.
Yeah, man. This is fucking same general theme too.
Yeah. Hating women. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could talk a little bit more, but at this point in time, you know, what do you want to talk about? Because we're not terribly far off from the nightmare scene, but we got next week.
The nightmare scene is a good place to kick off the next episode.
Okay. So if that's
the nightmare scene's great.
So the talking, we'll get to the nightmare scene. So the talking heads are talking about Superman. There's like a family that's caught in a flood. It's like there's a montage of Superman doing shit. And at one point, there's a family caught in a flood during like Hurricane Katrina or some shit. And like the only thing they have is white paint. That is hedging your bets.
That's their entire disaster survival kit.
Yeah, and it's raining. Like, that paint wasn't going to stay on. Not even for a minute.
No, not in a hurricane.
Superman just leaves them on their roofs. It's like, you guys deserve to die.
Now, meanwhile, wheelchair guy is bailed out by Lex, who is a complete asshole. Lex is being such an asshole to wheelchair guy.
He sure is, yeah.
And then he turns around. He's like, whoop, 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 look at this. I got you a new wheelchair. It's a bomb. Clark establishing.
And the wheelchair guy knew it was a bomb, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Perry shows up being like, where's my fucking copy, bro? I went to the Dropbox and there's nothing about the fucking. I have to. I run a newspaper, Clark. There are people that need to know about the football game. I understand. You don't want to do that. I don't want to still be running a newspaper.
Right.
We do what we have to do to survive. You need to
understand. We're all
going to
be jobless next week.
And then Bruce meets up with Diana at the museum. She's at the museum. And they're looking at the Alexander the Great's sword that cut the Gordian knot.
Yeah.
And then,
but it's fake.
A counterfeit. Bruce's like, it's a counterfeit. And she's like, yes, it is now over the Sultan of, and then some, they couldn't say Brunei, so they just said some made up nation.
Yeah.
And,
Brunei.
And then,
it's a Sultan of Cordo Maltese.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Then he's like, I see through your Babe in the Woods act, bitch. And she's like, I didn't steal from you, I borrowed from you. And she gives him back his thing, and he's like, okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye. That's all. Fine.
And then he's going to go home on his computer, and that's a sode.
And
there we go.
Jerk off to Wonder Woman.
That is a sode.
Furiously.
Oh, just
me and Jeff did watching this
with a
he's
vigorous
gonna use
rage,
his powerful arms yeah. to just wail on his hog.
Yeah, just going to
shatter his pelvis.
Going to the pound cave.
with a Batman theme plays. Just wailing on it.
It's the only way I can come.
Alfred walks in. That's a deep fake video, actually. That's not even her body.
It's fine. It'll do the job. You know,
it's all I need.
It's the imagination that really does it. Suspend your disbelief. The brain is the body's greatest sexual organ.
Look.
Just wailing on it so hard, he's got like bruises on his thighs.
Bruise Wayne. Look, man, this movie's so fucking long. Like, we'll put it this way. We are halfway through this process. We mm-hmm. haven't hit conflict yet.
There was one point in this movie where you got up to use the bathroom, and I paused it just to see how long was left, and I felt like there was going to be, like, 15 to 20 minutes, and there was an hour 15 left.
Sorry, buddy.
That's the Batman v Superman guarantee.
Oh, man.
guarantee there's more time left in this movie than you expect.
Always an hour 15 left in Batman vs. Superman.
It's an hour and 15 minutes in every garage.
it's just, we call that the Snyder paradox. The movie's over and there's still 45 minutes left. Adam, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. This is a free episode.
What?
It is. It's a freebie.
So now's the chance. Everybody wants to hear. What do you got going on, Adam?
I am currently co-hosting a fantastic podcast on the Unpops Patreon called Jose Consecast with my BFF, Jeff May.
Hey.
And it is...
Oh, that's you, Jeff.
Hey, that's me.
It is... good stuff.
I think the reviews are great because it's all people that are like, I hate sports, this is my favorite podcast of the year.
Yeah, it's you
couldn't have picked a more perfect figure.
Wait till you hear our next one. Wait till you hear what the next subject is going to be,
the logical next step after Jose Canseco.
So
check out Jose Consecast on the Unpops Patreon. We'll put it up for sale soon. I don't know if we're even gonna put it on iTunes.
Just fucking
buy it from us.
It's so good, man.
It's so good. It's so much fun. That's all I want to plug.
That's it. Just not the Unpops network in general.
I mean, patreon.com/unpops, but
you got a good network, bro.
Thanks.
Tom.
It's because of people like you.
You know what? Let me,
Jimmy Olsen of this podcast network.
Let me do mine.
I'm gonna shoot you in the face.
I'll do mine so Tom, you can wrap up with all the big stuff. For me, you can check out Sideshow with Jeff May. That's me. Through Sideshow Collectibles. That's every other Tuesday. And that is a really fun show, really great. I like doing that. Obviously, Jose Consecast. And if you are listening to this and you liked it, of course, check out Tom and Jeff Watch Batman on Gamefully Unemployed. Mint on Card, my live stand-up show, is the second Friday of every month in beautiful Magnolia at Blast from the Past in Burbank. Don't be afraid to check that out. Tom, sell him on Gamefully Unemployed.
Oh, I'll do my very best.
No, you should, because it's great.
Guys, if you want to hear part two of this episode and every other episode of Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, you can head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed, where we have other exclusive podcasts like Fox Mulder's a Maniac. We also have tiers where you can make us watch movies and then talk about them on our show we just watched. A new merchandise tier where you can sponsor an episode of, or you can sponsor Hypecast, which is another show we do. Get your name shouted out, get some exclusive merch. I think every 3 months is how the cycle works. But yeah, you should check that out. And also, we have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where you can get t-shirts, stickers, mugs, posters, all kinds of good stuff. Do all of the things all of us just told you to do.
There it
all
is.
Of them.
All right.
Okay, this fucking stupid. This movie. This fucking movie. It's so long. Man.
All right. Let's get the hell out of here.
All right. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Daily Planet criticizing those who think they're above the law is a little hypocritical, wouldn't you say? Considering every time your hero saves a cat out of a tree, you read a puff piece editorial about an alien who, if he wanted to, could burn the whole place down. There wouldn't be a damn thing we could do to stop it.
Most of the world doesn't share your opinion, Mr. Wayne.
Maybe it's the Gotham City in me. We just have a bad history with freaks dressed like clowns.
Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.